morning, if you notice, we have no piano player, so we're going to sing a cappella. Just kidding. Mr. Jonathan was so nice to record all the music for us, so I guess we'll see how it goes. I guess we're going to start, not I guess, we are going to start with number 64 in the Christian Life Hymnal, Praise Him, Praise Him, if you'll please stand.
Of the darkest day, Christ on the
Now we're going to take a couple minutes to greet one another.
Good morning. Yay. So a few announcements before we pray and before the offering. Again, we still have this. Mine got a little crinkly, but a prayer time reminder. We're starting our prayer time this Thursday. So hopefully as many people are there as possible, but this explains all that. 4:45. I hope to see as many of you there as possible, but that is beginning this Thursday at 4:45. For Awana this week, and I probably should say this more than once, I'll play it safe. Our theme this week is dog night, so no live dogs. No one wants any live dogs. We're leaving our dogs at home, but so come dressed as a dog or bring a stuffed dog, and we're having hot dogs, which it was going to be chicken originally, wasn't it? So with leftovers, I guess God knew better than we did. We're having hot dogs, but we said no live dogs, didn't we? We didn't say anything about cooked dogs, but hot dogs, which are not made of dogs, and club will begin at 6:30, so it's our first regular week of Awana, so everyone bring your handbooks. And our baptism service is Sunday, September 30th, so that's in 2 weeks at Shady Green Pastures, but there's still time. If you're interested in being baptized, talk to me after the service, and we'll have a chance to discuss things. There's definitely still time for that. And then a big thank you to everyone who helped out with the hayride, the Awana kickoff last Thursday. It was wonderful, and we had hot dogs, and we're going to have them again. And it was a great presentation by the Harmon family, and good weather. So praise to God, and thank you to everyone for helping. And now let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we bow our heads to you this morning very thankful for all the ways which you provide for us. Lord, you are gracious to us. You give us what we need, even at times if we don't see that we need it. And Lord, we're very thankful for that. Lord, I pray that this morning within us, that would create an attitude of thanksgiving and praise back to you, Lord, for your provision in the lives of each of us. Lord, I also ask for prayer for those who need it, for those who are traveling, for those who are facing upcoming medical procedures. Lord, for the ones who need the touch of your love this morning, I ask for that. Lord, I ask for prayer as we sing praises to you, that our hearts may mean what the words of the song say. I ask that we would all be ready to hear from you as you speak through your word, and that even as we give back a portion of what you've given us, that we would do so grateful for the opportunity to contribute to your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. Just come forward.
Number 525 in the Christian Life Hymnal, At the Cross. Thank you. verse 4.
Good morning. If anyone would like to join me for the scripture reading, it's right there behind me, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Not sure. I guess it's always up there. I'm not sure why I say it still, but it's weird to stand up here and not say anything. So gives you a chance to get to there. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ.
Number 516, Love Lifted Me. Please stand with me as we prepare for the message.
Despairing cry from the waters lifted me. Now save them.
Good morning. If you haven't turned there, turn to Ephesians 4. And there's nothing pastors like better. Well, maybe there is, but it seems like I found myself, and I've heard other pastors do so also, repeating old slogans. And one of those old slogans of advice, wisdom, which isn't necessarily in the Bible, but it's something people say a lot, is make the most of what you have. It's not the most inspiring advice. In fact, it's usually said to kind of be a preemptive strike against someone complaining. But be grateful for what you have is the message, and make the most of it. And it may not be the most favorite words to hear, but it's true. A few weeks ago, I think I told an anecdote from my childhood where video game systems were discussed and Christmas gifts and how there was the hot new one coming out around Christmas and all the kids on the playground were talking about it, and a couple of kids got it, but most didn't, and I was one of the most who didn't, so that's okay. But a few years after that, I was a teenager, and I got a gift for Christmas. Well, I always did, but that year I got a gift that was a read through the Bible in a year paperback. And it just goes through in order, starting with January 1st with the readings. And you'll read through the whole Bible in a year if you read this book. And it wasn't what I thought I'd do, but I just sat down on January 1st and read, and I kept going. And by the end of the year, I'd read the whole Bible. And I think I would have preferred something else when I was younger. And I know that I actually didn't ask for that gift from anybody. I would have said something different, but I got it, and then I read it. And as I've looked back now on that experience years later, I think it's probably the best gift I've ever been given for Christmas, or probably any time. But as I thought it over, and especially as thoughts in preparation for this week's scripture, the only reason I consider it a good gift is that I actually used it. You know, if I hadn't used it, I wouldn't have considered it a good gift. And whenever there's any gift or anything we have, the using part is optional. Certainly, I could have left that on my shelf untouched with other untouched books. And if I would have done that, I would have forfeited the chance to use it and call it a good gift, make the most of it. And that's what this passage is speaking of this morning, gifts. We as the church, collectively, you know, all of us as a church, a group of people together, and each of us as individuals, each every one person in this room, each of us has been given gifts, specifically spiritual gifts. And we're given gifts for a reason, for a purpose. And we've been given them by Jesus, the master gift giver. And he teaches us, the point is that we use these spiritual gifts out of acts of obedience, as an act of obedience to him. And before we turn to Ephesians, though, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful that through your Son Jesus, through the Holy Spirit also, you have given us gifts. And as we know from this passage and our other life experiences, Lord, that's a gift. That's a gift of grace, a gift of mercy that we didn't deserve and we didn't have to have. Lord, there's no guarantee, no reason we should cry out and say, give us spiritual gifts in addition to salvation. But in your graciousness, God, you have. So that prompts us, it calls us, Lord, please create in each of us an attitude of obedience where we desire to use what we've been given by you for you. You gave to us so graciously and freely. But Lord, may we turn around and use what we've been given for you and not just even for you, Lord. That would be enough, but also for one another, for our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to build up the church. And Lord, each of us at different times needs encouragement from your Spirit and a call again to obey and use our gifts. So Lord, may you give to each of us in that area as we all need, that we may be obedient. To the name of your Son, Jesus, who did give us these gifts, we pray this morning. Amen. So we started in Ephesians 4. Verse 7 is our first verse, and reading Verse 7 there, it says, verses 7 and 8, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. So the very simple, straightforward reading, at his ascent from the grave, Christ gave gifts. He gave gifts to men. And that's the part that's easy to understand. But as we explore it deeper, we see that, you know, Christ ascended. First, Jesus died in his life on earth, because it gets that in a couple verses. Then he rose from the grave on Easter Sunday morning when the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And then he ascended on high into heaven. He did not remain on earth. Jesus rose and was alive, and the disciples saw his resurrected body, but he did not remain on earth. He ascended to heaven. And after that, the day of Pentecost, according to Acts 2, and at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus, was given. And he gave gifts. You know, Christ gave Christians gifts, each one through the Holy Spirit, but at his ascension, the reason that is marked there, at his ascension, is that this was something new that happened after the time of Jesus' ministry on earth. To point out further, this did not happen in Old Testament times. We see a difference there. Today, you will often hear spiritual gift discussion in the church. And we can sometimes forget that that is for today and that the Bible does not speak of spiritual gifts being present in the same way in Old Testament times. There were people, men and women, used by God in mighty power, but it wasn't in the same sense as it was from Acts chapter 2 on, and it's not in the same sense as it is today. At times, and the Old Testament says this, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals in great power, and they perform mighty acts for God. But again, not like today. The common average Israelites did not have the Holy Spirit indwell them. They didn't have him come upon them at all, probably. And then even the men who did great and mighty acts for God. You know, we think of David as he played the harp, or even Samson, who was had the Spirit come upon him in great power for acts of mighty strength. It was temporary. It was for a short time and for a purpose. Even these men were not described in the Bible as having the Holy Spirit indwelling and given to them the way we Christians are today. And there's that difference. Even in the Gospel of John, Jesus explained to his disciples that he was going to send another. He was going to send the Helper. That's why Peter quoted in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, see, Peter, the apostle, quoted from the prophet Joel, indicating that the presence of the Holy Spirit was a sign of the last days beginning at Christ's ascension. It was not something that had been done as it had been before. It was a different time for the people of God. Gone were the days of just some people sometimes having the Holy Spirit indwell them. Those days were gone, and there were new days. The new days consisted of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God himself, indwelling each and every person who trusts in Jesus. Of course, this passage, and we'll get to more of this in a little bit, says that gifts are not always given in equal measure. It says grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We need to think about the measure of the grace given in the gift. I already said that we didn't need to have the gifts given. Grace is favor that we don't deserve. Salvation is enough. It's more than what we deserve. Being given gifts by God also is so much more. But to each, it's a measure of Christ's gift. And it says some get more. It would appear in the book of Acts that Peter maybe was more blessed by the Holy Spirit than some of the other apostles. And that doesn't mean that he was better. It was just how God chose to do things. And the same is true now. Maybe some are more blessed than others, but what we can't get away from and we can't avoid is that we are called to obey the one who gave us the gifts. We obey, we seek to live in obedience to our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the one who gave us the gifts. So then the parenthetical expression in verses 9 and 10, it says, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who ascended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so he might fill all things. So the gift giver is the same person. It's Jesus. And we talked about what Jesus did and how this relates to us. Because it says he gave gifts to men. And connecting that to Jesus, the one who experienced life as a human. Because he was born, he lived, he died. He breathed oxygen like we did. He had these little experiences that we don't always think of, but we experience, like rain falling on your head, the wind blowing, the sun shining. And he had all this knowledge of what it meant to be a human by experience. That's why it says that he knows our struggles, because he went through temptation and suffering as we did. Knowledge by way of experience is different than knowledge by book or by secondhand accounts. Maybe some of you have. I haven't. I've never broken either of my arms. I've been reliably informed that if you break your arm, it hurts, and then if you have to have a cast afterwards, it hinders your life. I'm sure that's true, and I believe it, but saying that isn't the same as if I would have actually ever broken one of my arms. And again, it's the same with Christ. When the Bible says that he knows what it was like to be human, we know that God knows everything, but this wasn't in the sense of God knowing everything. It's that Jesus lived on earth as a human, one of us. And then he also, after his death, after his resurrection, he ascended with mighty power. And then the all-knowing one gave gifts to each of us. And that's what, when we think about spiritual gifts, the fact that we've each been given gifts, it reminds us once again, it's been said before, and I think it's true, that every passage of Scripture, even every thought, we should eventually be pointed to Jesus. And once we're pointed at Jesus, we should know what we see. The cross, the crucified Savior, the righteous King, the risen Lord, the one who conquered death. And we see all of this, and because of his resurrection, that is why we are saved. It's why we have citizenship in heaven. It's his resurrection that makes our faith valid, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. If he'd never risen, if there's no resurrection at all, then there would be no reason for hope. There'd certainly be no reason to use any kind of spiritual gifts in service of him. And it's that because of that resurrection, it points to the gifts we have. The gifts given to us, they're from the resurrection. That's why here, when talking about spiritual gifts to the church, yes, once again, as has happened before, Paul hit the pause button as he was writing and stopped and mentioned all that Jesus had done before he gave gifts to us. It's important to remind us, before we talk about ourselves and the gifts, to gaze at the giver of the gifts, be in awe of his power, Jesus, and his resurrection, his ascension. That brings all of this together, and that's why we have this. We already should know, the Bible clearly teaches, that our salvation and the fact we have it should cause us to praise God, first of all. It's the glory of God. It's through the grace of Jesus. And it's through his merit also, the righteousness of his life. It wasn't our merit. It wasn't our works. The one who had merit before God, Jesus, the giver of gifts, Jesus. And that means he also gives the gifts because of his grace and not on the deserving nature of us. If ever any of you do something or anything out of your giftedness, because of your spiritual giftedness, if you ever do anything, then that's a call to thank God for giving that grace to you. It's not you, it's him. And you've just been simply faithful with what you've been given. Although there are different gifts given to different people. Verses 11 and 12 says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. The clear truth presented here, the gifts are from Jesus, they're not from us, and also different gifts have been given to each and every person. This shouldn't be a surprise either. We are not the same. Every person is different, and that's not just said to, you know, compare us to snowflakes, because every snowflake is different, but we're different because we need each other. And we're going to talk about why each of us has different gifts. Paul wrote there are gifts given to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, teachers. And I think that the positions, especially of apostles and prophets, were mostly for the New Testament times. You know, if we speak prophetically today, it's by speaking the word of God through the Spirit. But for the rest of these, you look at this list of spiritual gifts, and maybe you say to yourself, you know, I don't think of myself much as an evangelist or a preacher or a teacher. And of course, that's okay. There are other passages of Scripture that give longer lists of the spiritual gifts, but your gift is there too. Different gifts have been given to different people for different reasons. And wherever the case, use yours. Use the gifts which God has given you. Use them faithfully. And do not long or wish for another. Your gift is a gracious gift from God. And he is, if you've ever wondered why you were made this way, which I think is a question many people have asked themselves, God is not slighting you in any way, the maker who loves you so much. He has given you gifts graciously, and now, he is asking you to be faithful. Different gifts are given. Why? Because no one person could have every gift. There are too many. Most are gifted in more than one way, but no any one of us or any person could have every single spiritual gift. And all of that then points in the direction of unity. You know, the topic of unity has come up a lot in Ephesians, but unity is good, and hopefully we should understand that. But this is another reason why unity in the body of Christ is so good and so essential. We need each other. If one person could get it all done, then there'd be one person and that would be it. But we need one another. And that's, again, where the old phrases that are used have a purpose and a point. They're there to teach us. We are all a family. We are all a team. And that's why the body of Christ, the church, is even called the body of Christ. Paul uses that metaphor in 1 Corinthians 12 to explain how the body works together in such a way, the way our bodies work together in such a way, is supposed to be how the church works together in such a way. And he goes about it explaining what kind of body has an eye only. Paul wrote this nearly 2,000 years ago before fiction. I guess we know now in the Lord of the Rings movies, Sauron was one eye. But otherwise, there's not a giant eye. It wouldn't look like a body. We need all the body parts. It's not just a leg. It's not just an arm. The church is all of the body parts, ideally, working together in motion to the glory of Jesus. Now, when Christ ministered on earth, there were the disciples, but then there was Jesus, of course, and he was the leader. He clearly led the disciples. He was all-sufficient. He sent the apostles two by two to the towns, but all the work flowed from Jesus. But afterwards, you know, at his ascension, if you read in Acts, you see that Peter was kind of the leader of the apostles at first, but he wasn't the only one. You know, obviously, Paul came in after his conversion. James was in Jerusalem, John too. The Holy Spirit was actually the one working through all of them, not through any one person. They weren't Jesus. The apostles were just men. They weren't God in the flesh like Jesus. Because they weren't Jesus, the church needed every single one of them. One person couldn't do it all, and it's the same in the church in New Testament times. It's the same in the church around the world today, and it's the same even for our church here. We all need one another in this church because no one of us could do it. There's the worldwide scale where Christ commanded his church to take the gospel to all nations. Of course, no one person could do that, but even a smaller scale, our church here, just in our local area in our state, no one person could do what we are called to do. So the encouragement, whatever your gift is, serve in that area. Be faithful. Use your gifts for the church. And out of obedience to our Savior, Jesus. Of course, there's a couple of statements we need to say before we move on. First, there are seasons in life. And Sarah read a book this summer, and a part of the book kind of related to this. She told me that if a woman feels that she's gifted in hospitality, but right now she has a set of infant triplets and twin two-year-olds, well, there might not be as much time to open your home to others as later in life when you're an empty nester. And that's a pretty obvious example, and I don't know that many triplet infants. But the point that it explains is that there are seasons of life where gifts are used more or less. It depends on your season of life, and I pray the Holy Spirit guides each of us in that area. And second, be obedient to God. I know I already said be obedient to God by using your gifts, but I mean be obedient to God in what the Scripture says also. Because I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I'll remind us, it's true. We live in a fortunate time. We've never had more at our disposal as far as number of Bibles. And actually, if you combine the number of available Bibles we have in the English language printed today, combined with relative to history, we have a very high literacy rate as a country. So really, you'd say, hey, who should know this book better than us? It used to be if people couldn't read, they were relying on sermons and other teachings to guide them. But maybe you'd say, you know what, I'm not really gifted in study. Well, maybe you aren't, but God called you to read his word, so you should do so. Read the Bible, of course, and then another one is one of the gifts mentioned here. I know perhaps many people I've met don't feel comfortable or feel they're gifted as evangelists. That's very understandable. If you feel that way, trust me, you're not alone. But the Bible still calls us to share our faith. So there are areas where even if you're not necessarily gifted in that area, you should still be obedient to what God has called each of us to do. This is a point of the gifts. Verse 12, as we already said, the equipping of the saints for the work of service. It's a building up of the body of Christ. The goal, as it says, is to build one another up. Equipping the saints, equipping the church, each and every one of us. Equipping the saints and building up the body. That definitely relates to the gifts that were already listed in verse 11. You know, pastors, teachers, they equip saints with spiritual truth for the work of ministry. You know, teachers, preachers convey the word of God to Christians. Evangelists bring the word of God to the unsaved, to those who aren't Christians. So the saved may be edified, the body build up, and the evangelists, that the body of Christ may be added to in number. But fortunately, we have the Bible. All of us have this opportunity before us. We should read, study, and be obedient. And then second, again, I have to say this again. This passage listed the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Maybe you're not one of those, but don't forget your gift. Your gift plays a part in the equipping of the saints. You, each of us, you build up the church too through your gift. There's not a single spiritual gift which is unnecessary or unneeded, like an appendix or something. We all need one another. We need each gift. Every gift is needed to work together. We can't do without a single one. Use your gifts for the church today. We need them as the church. And we don't need any more or any less of a certain gift. What we need is more Christians, all Christians, using their gifts, whatever that entails, out of obedience to our Savior and God. So we've talked about how gifts are given, that they're a product of grace, and they come from the resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ. And that's how we know that the gifts, which are spiritual, that's how we know they have power, because they came from Jesus. We should rejoice at that power that he has entrusted in us. He is working through us and asking us to be faithful and using them for a purpose. And that is the most important. You know, there's the gift that's used and the gift that wasn't used. If you're using your spiritual gift faithfully, I think you'll come to find that you're so grateful and you think, I am so glad that God had me be this way. I wouldn't have it be another way. Now, if it's never used by you, if you, as the children's song say, if you hide it under a bushel, then you won't see it as a great gift because you'll never have the opportunity to. It's pretty simple because you never used it. Use it. It's not meant to be left on a shelf. It's meant to be used in total obedience to King Jesus. Through his grace, he gave to each of us to build us up in the body for the work of ministry. So let's pray. Lord, I do again, as I did at the outset, I ask for grace because you've given us so much. But, Lord, what we need to do is obey. Not think that we lack, but obey you first and foremost. So God, I ask that you would do so and help each of us to do so. Lord, may we not take your graciousness towards us for granted. May we work and serve faithfully for you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. As the ushers come forward, we're going to have communion this morning. As they make their way forward, a reminder to everyone that this is to serve as a memorial, to remember the death of our Savior Jesus for our sins. And all that's necessary to come to the table this morning is that you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So before we pass out the bread, let's pray. Lord, as we come before your table at this time of memorial, I pray that we really would remember. Remember why we do this and be grateful for your death and resurrection, which has led to the salvation of each one here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. In Matthew's gospel, it records the Last Supper. It says in Matthew 26 that while they're eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Amen. Since we had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray once more. Lord, it was your blood poured out for our sins. And as we remember that this morning, I pray that each of us, as we leave today in this day of worship and go about our days doing what we need to do, may we be meditating, Lord, consistently on your death and resurrection for us, and that's brought us salvation and given us gifts to be used for you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Stand with me and we'll sing. Let the redeemed.